The Texas Medical Association welcomes you to the Recovery Audit Contractor and Medicare presentation. The purpose of this presentation is to inform you of the who, what, when, where, how, and why of CMS's new permanent RAC program. We're fortunate to have RAC experts from CMS and Connolly Consulting, the contractor for Region C. So to introduce our presenters, first we have Amy Reese, who began working at CMS in July 2007, as a health insurance specialist in the Office of Financial Management and served as a project officer for the RAC Demonstration Validation Contractor. Amy graduated from Stevenson University, formerly Villa Julie College, with a degree in Family and Community Services. Prior to joining CMS, Amy worked both in the research and treatment fields of children with special needs. Amy now serves as project officer for the Region C RAC. We also have Patricia Fenton, RN, BSN, CCM, who joined CMS in August 2008 as a nurse consultant in the Division of Recovery Audit Operations. Patricia's nursing experience includes subacute rehabilitation, pediatrics, case management, and quality improvement. She is a certified case manager and, prior to joining CMS, served as the quality program manager for a Maryland Medicaid contractor, specializing in the rare and expensive medical population. From Connolly Consulting, we have Christina Castelli, who is the point of contact for Region C Recovery Audit Contractor Project with responsibility for client relations and quality assurance. Christine was also the Connolly principal responsible for the Medicare demonstration project in the states of New York and Massachusetts. Christine has over 23 years of diverse experience in the recovery, healthcare, legal, and insurance industries. Her previous experiences included director of operations for one of the largest Medicaid HMOs in the United States. In that role, Christine was responsible for overseeing the recovery and auditing departments for 7 state Medicaid contracts. Christine has also worked in the legal field, overseeing recovery opportunities within the area of subrogation, personal injury, coordination of benefits, and medical cost contaminant issues. Christine is a graduate of Pierce College and is a certified paralegal. She lives in Philadelphia with her family. So I'll now turn it over to Patricia.
Thank you. Again, this is Patricia Fenton, and I am going to start with the first part of the presentation, and then I will turn it over to Amy Reese. At this point, you should be on slide 2, and it's entitled Agenda. Today we would like to talk about what RACs do, whether the RAC will affect you, why we have RACs in the first place, what the function of a RAC is, what providers' options will be should they receive an overpayment determination, and finally, what providers can do to get ready for RAC review. Next slide. First, let's talk about what a RAC does. The RACs detect and correct past and proper payments so that CMS, carriers, FIs, and MACs can implement actions that will prevent future improper payments. The overall goal is that providers can avoid submitting claims that do not comply with Medicare, CMS can lower its error rate, and taxpayers and future Medicare beneficiaries are protected going forward. On slide 4, will the RACs affect me? And this is a common question that providers ask. The answer is yes. If you bill fee-for-service Medicare, your claims will be subject to review by the RACs. On the next slide, I will discuss specific timeframes for RAC activity. At this point, you should be looking at a map of the United States entitled Timeframe. The map is divided into yellow, green, and blue states based on rollout timeframes. Currently, provider outreach has, for the most part, been completed in the yellow and green states. And the blue states on the map will roll out, they're rolling out now and later in the summer, so we're working on that currently. Next slide. On slide 6, you can see a large pie chart, and you may wonder why we have the RAC program, and I think this chart actually answers it fairly well. If you look at the chart, you can see that Medicare is one of the top federal programs with improper payments. As a result, the RAC program, the focus of this is to decrease the amount that that Medicare represents on this chart. Next slide. to provide some RAC background, the Medicare Modernization Act, Section 306, requires a three-year RAC demonstration, and that demonstration took place from March of 2005 through March of 2008. The Tax Relief and Health Care Act of 2006, Section 302, then required a permanent and nationwide RAC program to be implemented by January 1st of 2010. Both of these statutes gave CMS the authority to pay the RACs on a contingency fee basis. Next slide. A few points about the RAC review process. First, RACs review claims on a post-payment basis only. They use the same Medicare policies as carriers, FIs, and MACs when reviewing claims. And that would be NCDs, LCDs, and CMS manuals as the basis for the determination. There are also two types of review that can take place, one being automated, in which case a medical record is not required, and secondly, a complex review in which a medical record is always required prior to a determination. Also, know that RACs will not be able to review claims paid prior to October 1st of 2007, but going forward, they will be able to look back 3 years from the date the claim was paid. Now, right now, they can only look back about a year and a half just because of where we are in the time frame, but by October 2010, they'll be able to look that full 3 years. RACs are also required to employ a staff consisting of nurses or therapists, certified coders, and a physician medical director. Next slide, and you should be on slide 9 right now. The RAC collection process is the same as it is for carriers, FIs, and MAC identified overpayments. So that providers can easily identify a RAC adjustment, there will be remark code N432, adjustment based on the recovery on a recovery audit on the remittance advice that providers receive. Carriers, FIs, and MACs recoup by offset unless the provider has submitted a check or a valid appeal within the appropriate time frame. Next slide. Now, what are the differences between the RAC demonstration program and the permanent program? Well, first, the demand letter is issued by the RAC in the permanent program. RACs will offer an opportunity for the provider to discuss the improper payment with the RAC, and this is outside of the normal appeal process and is known as the discussion period. This is different than what we did with the demonstration. Also, issues reviewed by the RAC will be approved by CMS prior to widespread review, so there is more oversight, and approved issues will be posted to the RAC website prior to widespread review. So providers can go onto the website and see what things the RACs are reviewing currently. The next two slides actually outline the new issue review process. You can see on slide 11 the automated process and on slide 12 the complex process. I'm not going to go through them step by step. Certainly, it's outlined fairly specifically what the steps are. The complex review process is a little bit longer in that there's a medical record involved in that process. At this point, you should be on slide 13, and it's entitled What Are Providers' Options? So the question becomes, what are providers' options if they receive an overpayment determination from a RAC? Well, you may pay by check. You may allow recoupment for future payments. And or you can request or apply for an extended repayment plan. The other option is to appeal. And there are two links here, one for the appeal timeframes and one for the 935 information that I encourage providers to look at so that you can familiarize yourself with the process if you're not already familiar. So I would recommend going to both of those sites to get acquainted with the appeal process. At this point, I'm going to turn the rest of the presentation over to Amy Reese.
Thanks, Tricia. I'm going to pick up on slide 14, which are the RAC program's three keys to success. And these are really the main things at CMS that we're going to be focusing on as we move forward with a successful implementation of the national program. And those are to minimize provider burden, to ensure accuracy, and to maximize transparency. In minimizing provider burden, we have limited the the RAC look-back period to 3 years, and Tricia did touch on that earlier. Again, we have that maximum look-back date of October 1, 2007. So when the RAC first began reviewing claims, they'll only have about a year and a half time frame, but that will roll forward until it's the full 3 years. And that is a change from the demonstration. And the demonstration, again, it was a four-year period, so we have reduced that. Also, we have required that the RACs accept imaged medical records on CD and DVD. In the demonstration, they were only required to accept paper-based records, and certainly they are still required to accept those paper-based records either in the mail or by fax, but we've just given providers another option in providing those records to the RACs if they are looking to move away from the paper world. Also, we have limited the number of additional documentation requests that the RAC can ask for. The next slide, slide 16, has a summary of some of those limits for inpatient hospitals and other facilities, as well as other Part A fillers. But we'll touch on slide 17, the additional documentation request limits for physicians. These would include podiatrists and chiropractors as well. And all of these limits are based on a 45-day period. That is the amount of time that a provider has to submit the records to the RAC. So that's why that 45 days is in each of the limits. But for a solo practitioner, the limit would be 10 medical records per that time period. For a partnership of 2 to 5 individuals, the limit would be 20 medical records per 45 days, and this would be based on their group NPI. And again, the remaining limits are based on group NPI as well. For a group of 6 to 15, the limit would be 30 medical records, and a large group of more than 16 practitioners would be 50 medical records, again, per that 45-day period and per group NPI. Also, we have the limits for other Part B billers, such as DME suppliers, labs, outpatient hospitals, and that limit will be 1% of the average monthly Medicare services with a maximum of 200. On the next slide, we have an example of how an additional documentation request would work, how those limits would be developed. Certainly the physician limits are a little bit more straightforward to figure out, but for those that are based on percentages, we use the example of an outpatient hospital. If in the previous year they have submitted and gotten paid for 360,000 Medicare services, you divide that by 12 for your monthly average, which would be 30,000 Medicare paid services. 1% of that would be 300, but since we've instituted a maximum limit of 200, then that in that example, that provider would have hit the maximum limit, and they would have a 200 medical record limit per 45 days. On the next slide, we talk about how we can ensure accuracy, and we're really talking about ensuring the accuracy of the claim determinations that the RAC is making. Tricia touched on some of the staffing qualifications at the RAC. They are required to use certified coders for coding determinations and use nurses or therapists for other types of determinations. Also, they're required to have that full-time physician medical director on board. And in a few minutes, when Christine from Connolly starts speaking, she will tell you a little bit more about the specific qualifications of the staff at Connolly. Also, we have a new issue review board that will, again, provide greater oversight of the things that the RACs are looking at. And this is a big change from the demonstration. This is a new process. When we talk about new issues, we really mean service specific type things. So if a RAC is going to look at a particular CPT code or a particular surgical procedure, those would be examples of new issues. And so our board at CMS is made up of many different subject matter experts from around the agency that will help help us determine if the RAC is interpreting a particular policy correctly or reading a regulation right, and you know, just making sure that before they proceed with correcting any of those improper payments, that they truly are improper payments. And again, the board will help us make those decisions as to whether we'll allow the RACs to move forward with those issues or not. Also, we have a RAC validation contractor. They're an independent contractor, and they will help us with looking at some of those new issues as well. But really, one of their main focuses will be providing an annual accuracy score for each of the RACs, and they'll do this by reviewing a sample of claims that each RAC has made a determination on each month, and that will be rolled up into that annual accuracy score, and that will be available to the public once that has been calculated, and it most likely will be published in our yearly status document that we post to our website. So we'll be sure to update the associations when that report is out and when we have an accuracy score. Also, the last bullet point, this is one of the biggest changes that's been made since the demonstration, and it says that if Iraq loses at any level of appeal, they have to return their contingency fee. In the demonstration, they only had to return their contingency fee if they lost at the first level of appeal, if a provider continued appealing up the line, and if it was overturned at any subsequent level, the RAC could keep their fee, and we have changed that. So, again, they must return their fee no matter what level of appeal if the claim is overturned. So we really think that this incentivizes the RAC to review those really clear and proper payments that will hold up through the appeal process. On the next slide, we talk about maximizing transparency of the program, and we have a couple ways that we're accomplishing this. Those new issues that we talked about that CMS has to approve first, once they're approved, they will be posted to each of the RAC's website, so it will be very clear to the providers what the RAC is looking for and you know, what issues they're going to start reviewing. Also, we will also be posting major findings to the web as well. And by major findings, we're really talking about those new issues that have resulted in a significant amount of improper payments after the RACs have been, you know, reviewing them for a particular amount of time. Things that we, you know, will need to develop some corrective action on, things that are proving to really be a vulnerability to the Medicare Trust Fund. So we'll be posting the results of what those findings are to the web as well. Also, we've required that the RACs have a claim status website up and running by January 1, 2010. This will be just an application for providers to check on the status of their medical record. If you're wondering if the RAC received your record and if they started reviewing and if they've made a determination and, you know, kind of all the steps in the process, providers will be able to check online to see what's going on in that audit. Also, a major component of that website will also be an address customization function. So if providers want to maybe change the person or a particular address where their correspondence is being sent, they'll be able to do that on the website as well. Also, we've required that the RACs send a detailed review results letter following all complex reviews, anything that they've required a medical record to look at. We did hear in the demonstration that sometimes providers weren't, you know, really clear, even if a RAC had made an overpayment determination, you know, they weren't clear what the issue was. And if the issue isn't clear, then it's not clear, you know, how to fix it moving forward. So we want to make sure that all of that information is provided in those letters that are sent out. On the next slide, we have some suggestions for things that providers can do to get ready. You want to know where previous improper payments have been found. You should know if you're submitting claims with improper payments. And also, you need to be prepared to respond to RAC additional documentation requests. On the next slide, we have some websites where you can see those previous improper payments. The first is our CMS RAC website, and there is a section on that website about the RAC demonstration with a number of reports that were issued from the demonstration with results of what the RACs were looking at then. We really encourage you to be familiar with what happened in the demonstration because, you know, if it was an improper payment then, there's a chance that it still might be moving forward. Also, again, become familiar with your permanent RAC websites because those findings will be listed on those sites, and Christine from Connolly will give you that information for their website. Also, be familiar with what some other medical record review entities are finding. The Office of Inspector General, they look at Medicare claims, and they've issued a number of reports, as well as our CERT contractor who measures our error rate. In those reports, you can find some really helpful information about where some improper payments are. Moving on to the next slide, we really encourage providers to know if you're submitting claims with improper payments. So after you've looked at those websites with where some improper payments might be found, look at your own data and your own claims and what you're submitting to Medicare, and make sure that you're in compliance with all of the Medicare rules. And if you're not, you need to make sure that you're implementing some corrective actions so going forward you can bill correctly and be paid correctly as well. On slide 24, we talk about being prepared to respond to those RAC additional documentation requests. And this is really important because the RAC has an obligation to deny that claim if they've requested information and you have not submitted it. That is a Medicare rule. So we want to make sure that providers are communicating with the RAC and sending in information if it's requested. You should really communicate with your RAC and tell them the precise address and the contact person's name of where they should be sending those letters. They have the data that comes from the claims processing contractor, so your FI or your carrier or your MAC. And but if that's not the best place for the correspondence to come as far as any kind of RAC correspondence, please tell them a different address, and they have a way that they will that they would like that information and forms that they will talk about in a few minutes. So we don't want any requests or any letters getting lost in the mail, so that's really important. Also, feel free to check on the status of any of those additional documentation requests. We do have that that website coming up in January 1, 2010, but until then, you can feel free to pick up the phone and call the RAC to make sure that they have received their medical records. On the next slide, we talk about appeals. You always have the option to appeal. The appeal process for RAC determinations is the exact same as the appeal process for the determinations, you know, that your carrier or your FI or your MAC makes. The process is not any different, so we do encourage you to be familiar with those rules. Also, Tricia touched earlier on the RAC discussion period. This is something that is outside of the normal appeals process and is unique to the RAC program. And it's just as simple as if you receive a RAC determination, an overpayment determination, and if you don't agree with it, pick up the phone and call the RAC, have a discussion. Maybe you think that they missed something really obvious in the medical record that you can point out, or maybe you realize you forgot to send a day or two of notes that you think will help them see your case as well. So instead of having that claim overturned and then going through the appeal process, if it's something simple that can be worked out before that happens, then it benefits all parties involved. So we really do encourage you to utilize that discussion period. But we also want you to realize that, again, that is outside of the normal appeal process, and the time frames associated with the appeal process do not stop and they don't change during that discussion period. So if you're talking to the RAC and it seems like you're just not on the same page and they're not seeing your point, but you continue to think it's an improper payment, please just go ahead and file that appeal. The process is there for you to use, when necessary. So you do have those rights. And lastly, we want you to learn from your past experiences. Keep track of those denied claims. Keep track of the medical record requests that the RAC is sending. Be familiar with what they're doing and if you're seeing any patterns in what they're looking for and what they're looking at. And again, if you need to implement any corrective actions in your practice to make sure that you're billing appropriately moving forward, that's really important as well. On the next slide, we have some important contact information here at CMS. We have our CMS RAC website at www.cms.hhs.gov/RAC. Again, that website, we think it's really helpful. We have some information from the demonstration on there, as well as some important information about the program as we move forward nationally. Also, we have a general RAC email address, which is RAC@cms.hhs.gov. And even though there's not a person's name there, that mailbox is being checked, so feel free to use that mailbox, and we'll get back to you with a response to any of your questions you may have. On the next slide, we have your project officers, who should be your main RAC contact here at CMS. And if you have colleagues and or friends in any of the other RAC regions, there's their information, contact information for the other RACs. But for Connolly, again, I'm your project officer. My name's Amy Reese, and my email is on that slide, and you can feel free to email me as well. And the last two slides are just, again, some more flowcharts that we've provided you just to give you a visual of how the RAC process works. The steps involved are the things that we've been telling you about over the last few minutes here, and all those major steps in the review process, as well as some time frames that we want you to keep in mind moving forward. And with that, our CMS presentation has ended, and I will turn it over to Christine Castelli from Connolly.
Hello, everyone. My name is Christine Castelli, and before I begin, I'd like to first extend a thank you to everyone for listening in on this recorded presentation, and also a special thank you to the Texas Medical Association for extending me an invitation to present today. My name is Christine Castelli. I'm the principal here at Connolly Healthcare, responsible for client relations and quality assurance. Next slide. I'd like to first take an opportunity to provide you with the Connolly background, let you know a little bit about who Connolly is. This year, Connolly is celebrating their 30th anniversary. As you can see, we've been established since 1979 with a singular focus on recovery auditing. Connolly has pioneered the use of data mining technology tools that have the ability to identify and recover underpayments and overpayments. We serve some of the largest clients in the industry, such as Medicare, of course, Medicaid, and some of the industry's largest commercial payers. You may see our name in the industry with relationship to United Healthcare, Aetna, some of the largest payers out there. In 2008, Connolly reviewed over $150 billion in paid medical claims. Very large amount. Next slide. We're now on slide 33. Connolly's RAC program mission. It's our mission to detect and correct Medicare past improper payments. The way in which we'll be doing that is to analyze the root causes of those improper payments and provide CMS with some actionable process improvement recommendations in hopes that we can prevent or mitigate future improper payments. One would say, why would you be interested in doing that? The purpose behind doing that is when you do When you are a company such as Connolly, and we specialize in this, and we're dealing with some of the largest payers in the industry, they would not expect anything other than that. So it is important that we are making recommendations so that fixes could occur in the system, or recommendations for possibly some policy changes. That is very important to us. We operate with high sensitivity to provider relations. Next slide. Our review process. Connolly uses the same Medicare policies as the MACs, the FIs, the carriers, and the DMACs. And by saying that, we are using tools such as NCDs, LCDs, CMS manuals, examples of claims processing manuals, program integrity, benefit policies. The most important point here, folks, is that we are using the same tools all of you have access to. We do not have a magic book that we take off the shelf. It's important for you to understand that you get yourself familiarized with these tools and make sure that you are current with them. We also use the same type of staff as the MAC, the FI, the carriers, and the DMACs. We have nurses, therapists, certified coders. We have a physician CMD. You'll note also that a lot of our nurses are even certified coders. One of the points that I'd like to hit home here, folks, is I'm a huge advocate of certified coders. I'll go to bat for them anytime. I think that these are individuals who need to make sure that they are current in their process and that their CEUs are current so that they are providing you with the most accurate reviews and or billing tools available in the industry. So it's very important that the certified coders are actually keeping themselves current with the CEUs. Again, it's just a recommendation. Next slide, I'm on slide 35. I'd like to take a moment to speak about our subcontractor, Viant. Viant has been in the industry for over 18 years, servicing some of the nation's largest healthcare payers. Yes, Viant did participate in the RAC demonstration project as a subcontractor in California. Viant will be subcontracting in Region C, providing Part A complex reviews. The most important thing for you to know is that Connolly is 100% accountable for the Region C RAC contract, meaning we are 100% accountable for our subcontractor. That is very important that you understand that. Viant will also be adhering to the SOW, the Statement of Work, as will Connolly. They will follow the same process as Connolly does, meaning they will go through the new issue review process. They will follow the same rules. So that is most important for you to understand that. Next slide, slide 36. This is where we're going to spend a little time. This is the slide that we'd like for you to take a moment and to review with us. We need for you to get prepared and organized. We need for you to complete, submit, and keep current your request for contact information. This form allows you an opportunity to customize your address. Yes, Connolly will be receiving from all the FIs, the MACs, any of the payers. We will be receiving provider files, but you now have an opportunity to customize your address. What you can do if you look at this form is you have the ability to identify two contacts, one for a medical record contact person, that's where we would send the medical record request letter, and the other contact is what I call a financial contact, where we would send a letter for underpayment or overpayment of claims that we've identified. You can choose to have one individual for both of the contacts. That's completely up to you. But more than anything, the most important thing is you must complete this and submit it. This is very, very important. Because if we don't receive this, then we are going to default and use the address provided by the FIs, the MACs, and the payers. If you represent a group of physicians, say more than six, then there is on Connolly's website an an Excel spreadsheet that has the ability to track and allow you to submit information from many, what I call many providers. Some of you may represent 100 physicians. You can complete that to avoid completing 100 of these forms. This form really should be used for the individual who only represents maybe 1 to 5 providers, and you would fill it out for each of those. But anybody above that cap, I strongly suggest that you use our spreadsheet, again, which is located on our website. It gives you all the same fields and the same opportunities to identify your contacts. Next slide. We are now on slide 37. Again, it's important for you to identify and maintain your RAC liaison to manage correspondence. You need to identify someone who is going to be responsible to make sure that they're disseminating information in-house in your organization and or accountable for moving your process through its all the time requirements. So we again recommend that you identify a liaison to manage that correspondence. Respond to the RAC medical record request fully and within the required 45-day turnaround. Again, the 45-day turnaround is really a statute that must be adhered to, but what CMS is doing is allowing an additional 10 days on top of the 45 days. It is important that you understand the purpose of that. The 10 days, which now takes it from 45 to 55, is really for mailing purposes. It could incorporate some of the days where the letter leaves the RAC's office and arrives at your office, and then a couple days for it to go through its normal process in your office. But it is very important that you adhere to this timeline. We need for you to take advantage of utilizing the discussion period. You heard Amy speak to that. I can tell you, from my viewpoint as a RAC, I view that as a gift to the community, being the fact that this is an opportunity for you to have open discussion with the RAC. You might be able to identify to the RAC where the RAC has not made note of some very pertinent information that you'd like to share with them. And or maybe you've forgotten to submit one of the pages to a medical record, and that page can change the determination of the review of that medical record. It's important for you, though, to take advantage of this opportunity. But at the end of the day, as you heard Amy said, if there is not an agreement where we agree with you due to your additional information that you share during the discussion period, because if we agree with you, we can take that claim and not put it through its re-adjudication process again and leave it as is, because you've allowed us the opportunity to see the additional information, or you shared some information you did not previously share with us. But if we disagree with you, and at the end of the day we all agree to disagree, then you must take advantage of your appeal process. So it does not take place of that. Again, what's important here is to communicate, communicate, communicate. We will not know something if you don't share it with us. So that's very, very important. Next slide. Medical record submission. We will accept paper medical records, but we are suggesting that you submit your medical records via CD or DVD. We can accept medical records via a fax machine, but what I'm telling everyone is before you fax a medical record to us, I suggest that you take one of the most difficult pages in that medical record and fax it to yourself using your own machine. Sometimes you would be surprised by the quality of the fax. And I definitely believe you should do that before you go and fax an entire medical record. But if you can fax that record to yourself and see how clear it is, then fine, feel free to fax it to us. I'm going to give you a fax number for that as well. Also, again, we will accept paper and the CD and DVD. We also want that you, we need for you to adhere to the medical record submission requirements. This is really important. That is also The medical record submission requirements are also located on our web page. Please feel free to visit it. I will give you that at the end. Please feel free to visit it, look at it, start your test files now. You'll see on there, we ask that you do one test file with us. When doing a test file, please do not send us someone's medical record in a test file. You can feel free to print off these slides and send that to us. Just don't send us someone's actual medical record for the test. Please make sure that all your medical record images are sent in tamper-proof packages. What do I mean by that? The example I'm sharing with the industry is we once received a medical record in a Dunkin' Donuts box. Not sure why, but we did. The purpose behind that is I just like to remind everyone we need to take ownership of protecting someone's medical record. You being the sender of this record, whether it be, again, paper, a CD, or DVD. But please make sure that that information is secured and it can't just rip through transporting from your office to ours, the packaging. We strongly suggest that all medical records be sent CD, DVD, via trackable carriers. What do we mean by that? Whether it be a FedEx, UPS, DHL, United States Postal Service, it's completely up to you. You can send it regular mail. We're just suggesting that. We cannot make you do it, but we're just suggesting it. And again, it's only that we're suggesting it, that we are protecting the information that's on that, whether it be paper or CD, DVD. Next slide. Conley's key RAC personnel. Dr. James Lee, he is our medical director, and he is also a registered pharmacist, as well as Thomas Gallo. He is a principal of operations. Tom oversees the day-to-day operations here in-house at Connolly. And myself, Christine Castelli, I am the principal overseeing client relations and quality assurance. If for any reason you feel you are not receiving the appropriate service, which I can't imagine that will happen, please feel free to reach out to me. I need to know. But again, I don't anticipate that happening. Next slide. Here are our Connolly resources of information. Our RAC toll-free number is 866-360-2507. Please feel free to call that number. Once you call that number, if you don't have an individual that you a name of an individual, we do have a general queue. We have people manning the phones. If for any reason they do not pick the phone line up, it's only because they're probably servicing another caller. Please leave a message. They will return your call within 24 hours. Our RAC fax number is area code 203-529-2995. Something I didn't mention earlier, I would like, if I could, to take a moment. Our fax machines are not fax machines that you actually physically see. They're actually built into our network system where if you were to fax us something, they're not going to print out on a fax machine and sit there and wait to be picked up. They go into a secured online fax box that is password protected. So that information is always secured when faxed to us. So I thought that was important for me to mention that. The Connolly website and email address, our website is, of course, www.connollyhealthcare.com/RAC. Please get yourself familiar with our website. You should be going there. You should be looking up information. You can find your medical record submission requirements there, your RAC contact form. You can find the spreadsheet there that we spoke to earlier. Please definitely visit there. If you have a specific question regarding the project, please feel free to email at racinfo@connollyhealthcare.com. The Connolly RAC office address, we are located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, at the Navy Yard Corporate Center. Our physical location is 1 Crescent Drive, Suite 300A. And again, my name is there, Christine Castelli. My direct telephone number is 203-529-2315. Please feel free to give me a call if you have any issues or concerns. But all other inquiries, general inquiries, I'm suggesting that you go through our toll-free number, which you'll notice is at the top of the page, and go through the general box, or email your questions to our RAC info at connollyhealthcare.com. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Christine and CMS. I really appreciate all that information. I do have a few questions I'd like to ask. The first one is for Connolly. As we all know, physicians' offices receive tons of mail every day. So, Christine, will you please describe what the envelopes will look like that the Connolly refund requests will come in?
The Connolly envelopes are white in color. If you visit our website, you will have an opportunity to view our logo. The logo will be located on the top left-hand corner of the envelope.
Perfect. Thank you. And this next question is for CMS. In the RAC demonstration, RACs are not allowed to audit for evaluation and management coding, and we all know that's a source of great error for physicians. So I just wanted to make sure or make it clear that this is allowed for the permanent program. Is that correct?
Right. The RACs will be able to look at evaluation and management coding if they choose to, but again, that is something that will have to go through our new issue board at CMS to make sure that they're, they know the rules, the correct rules.
Thank you. And this last question is for both CMS and Connolly, and we can start with Connolly. Christine, from your perspective, what is the most important thing a physician should know and or do when he or she is faced with a RAC audit?
Well, can I just take a step back? Even before we get to the RAC audit, the most important thing at this time is two items. One is that the physician gets their contact form on file. This is so important because if they're not getting this contact form on file, then in fact, we may not be getting the letter to the right place. And that's extremely important because time will go away on them and they won't have an opportunity to catch up, and it's very, very important. So the first thing I'd like to see them do is get their contract forms completed and submitted to us. The second thing I'd like to see them do is to make sure that their medical record submission requirements, they understand what they are, that they've gone through that little test file process. That's very, very important. And for the third thing, when we kick off the actual reviews, which we have not done any to date, when we kick off, it is important for them to pay attention to the information that's being shared with them and to learn from that information, to take in the letters, to look to see what they are, to also pay attention and to say, is there something I can do differently to avoid a letter such as this going forward and make those appropriate changes? I think they're my suggestions. Amy?
I think we will echo everything that Christine said. That was great information, and just on the tail end of that, on the tail end of what you said, looking at your own practice, seeing if there's anything that you can do to avoid getting those RAC letters in the future. CMS and Medicare, we're such a huge program that policy changes and systems changes can sometimes take a really long time and, can be relatively slow moving. And if there's anything that you can do internally to make sure, that you're billing correctly so you're paid correctly, that will probably be the best thing that you can do. And also the other thing that we would just like to mention is to, communicate with Connolly. And all the information that Christine shared about the website and their contact information, please be familiar with that information. Know that you have a particular number of days to submit documentation to them, and be familiar with the process and what they're doing. And really, if you're unsure about anything, communicate with Connolly and make sure that you're understanding the process and understanding what they're doing, so that ultimately. We can all kind of reduce the amount of improper payments that are happening, and you can definitely do that by, being familiar with your RAC and what that process is.
That is all very great information. I just want to remind physicians that the slides for this presentation, along with supporting documents and important links, are going to be posted on the Medicare section of the TMA website. And again, I just want to express a sincere thank you to CMS and Connolly for providing this information to our physicians, and we look forward to working with CMS and Connolly as the RAC program moves forward. So thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.